Welcome to the That's Interesting podcast. I'm Bill.
And I'm Debbie.
Yeah, we have a little different perspective coming in tonight, and which may mean a little different angle.
Oh, definitely a different angle.
The topics that we're going to take tonight. So,
sure.
Yeah, we're just wrapping up a week here in our household. Debbie is my lovely bride and wife.
So, long time ago.
So we're going to jump in. Our week has been relatively exciting this week with a couple rear-end collisions, concussion. Yeah. It's
too much is what it is.
Too much. Yeah.
Can we just have a vehicle that works consistently?
That's always the challenge when you're trying to not have car payments or not have any more car payments. Sometimes it ends up in repair payments rather than car payments.
Well, at least the rear ending was not our fault.
That is true.
That is a helpful thing.
Yeah, for those of you that may also have teen drivers, you certainly understand the pain of paying for insurance during that window of time when you have teen drivers on your insurance policy. And so we have liability insurance, and thankfully our children have been relatively safe drivers, and the two accidents that occurred this past week, neither of which were our fault, thankfully.
Yes.
Yeah.
And nobody was majorly injured, which was a praise to God.
Yes.
It could have been very bad.
Could have been much worse. Yeah. So Cody's was not too bad. Damage to our vehicle, but drivable. He was on the interstate, stop-and-go traffic. Somebody rear-ends him. It was a good life-learning experience for a 19-year-old.
Oh, he was so nervous.
Yeah.
My goodness.
It's not his wheelhouse.
No.
But
he was having a heart attack.
Life-learning. He survived it.
Yeah.
And now he has filed that away in
other things that give him anxiety.
He was able to talk to a police officer in a coherent way.
Yeah.
He was able to gather all the necessary information.
He did a great job.
Such adulting tasks. Yes. So.
Did better than I probably would have. I would have just started crying and
he may
my
have
mom.
Cried. I don't know. It was not a visual interaction I had with him, but he did end up getting the information necessary, and we have a claim number, so we're on the right path for that vehicle. Still waiting. Well, I did get the police report today on the second vehicle, which involved me being hit by a drunk driver from behind with my youngest beautiful daughter, Maya, in the car with us, and she kind of hit the side window with her head and so had some concussion symptoms, but yeah, thankfully nobody was...
That was all that it was.
Yes, yeah, other than my truck is now not drivable.
Right.
I mean, it had 150,000 miles on it. I was really hoping for like 150,000 more, personally, for it to just keep going and getting me to work and back. We'll see. I don't know if it's going to be totaled out or not.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should be hoping for that because I don't think the cash return is going to be what I would
not quite sure
desire on that. But we'll see what develops there. So, yeah, that's been our week. So coming into the podcast today, just thought we'd take a little different angle with Debbie here with us tonight and just quiz her a little bit on the life of a mother of six and how that's sort of changed over the years from six babies.
Definitely has
You
changed.
Remember those days, Debbie?
It was a blur. I say all the time, like, how did we even make it through? And I don't remember half of it. Like, my mind has completely blanked it out. I look at pictures and I'm like, was I there? I don't remember.
Most of those pictures, you were just sleeping with like three kids asleep on
you. Top of me. Yeah.
Yes.
It literally was, it's a blur.
I can remember the first day, though, that we were, like, able to leave the young ones at home with the older ones. And
I was a nervous wreck, I think, when Josh and Alyssa were babysitting.
Were.
And I was like, I want to go home.
Yeah. Yeah. I was always the one trying to convince that we should get a babysitter. And you were always the one where the kids will die.
But they didn't, thank goodness.
Not survive, yes.
Thank you to all of our wonderful babysitters.
I was just going to say the same.
The Serena kids in the hands of so many lovely babysitters.
Yeah, so many Clearfield High
couple of which were
students.
Like, babysitting is not my thing.
Yeah, yeah. Our kids may have convinced them of that. And others many of them actually now have their own kids.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's kind of neat and yet surreal at the same time to... Yeah, they got a definite warm up with us. I would I definitely suggest one of our processes when the kids were little and we would go on vacation was we would take one of those babysitters with us. Yeah, that it wasn't a handing the kids off to them. It was
to help us put sunscreen on the kids so we can get to the beach quicker.
Yes. Or, hey, this child is tired and needs to go
back
and could you go back with them and we'll stay with the others on the beach. And so with a large family, an extra set of hands was definitely always helpful, too.
Yes. For those who don't know, our six kids range in ages. Our oldest was 10 when our youngest was born.
Mm-hmm.
So six kids and 10 years.
Yeah.
Couple are close together.
Mm-hmm.
And
we didn't live near family. So
not
we
really.
Just, yeah. We just, we didn't live near our
immediate family. We had family.
Yeah. Yeah. So we just took them. We took them everywhere, really, when they were little.
Maya was just reminding me of her activity backpack. There were some kids at a volleyball tournament that she was playing, and she's, I remember I had a backpack that when I went to tournaments and baseball tournaments, I had my activity backpack and all the things. Like, they just went with us everywhere.
Yeah, those younger ones sat through a lot of Josh's sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. All through the years. Till they got involved in their own things, and then the two that were close together, we said, you have to be on the same team. And so Jacob was always playing against bigger kids because we needed two of them at least to be on the same team.
It made life easier.
Yeah. We went through lots of sports. I think they all tried so many things. Yeah. Baseball. Not Cody's thing.
Not Cody's thing. Dad, can I please quit? No.
Yeah. One more year. Just play one more year with your brother.
Oh,
He's
like, the year Dad forced me to play baseball.
Yeah, he's eternally scarred by that. Of course, none of our boys really, baseball was kind of not really their thing.
It wasn't active enough for them.
Yeah.
It was a very passive sport that they wanted to run around. Soccer, football.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wrestling.
Those things. Yeah. Baseball just it just was a thing. And that's okay. That's okay. It's fun to help them figure out what their joy comes from and those kind of things.
Yes.
Tell us about Debbie, the arguments when our kids were little. How did you, you're far more organized than I am. Obviously, that shows daily in our household. But, when the kids were little and the arguments that would break out, what were your solutions to
my
that?
My best solution came from something my mother did a little bit with choices and rotations of that. And so I came up with a system of first choice, second choice, third choice, and it rotated. and it solves so many problems. I made a chart, and there was, oh, I want to watch this show on TV. And, oh, no, you don't have first choice today. This is Josh's day for first choice, so he gets to choose. Tomorrow, you'll have your first choice. And it rotated that. It went with where to sit at the dinner table, where to sit in the car, what to watch, anything. Mm-hmm. And it went with chores, too. Like, mm-hmm. they could choose their chores, and it rotated through. It solved so many arguments.
It really did. And you, I think you had a printout of that.
Oh, yeah. It was hanging in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So we could go check. And
I've had other large families, when I've told them about that have mm-hmm. asked, hey, can we get a copy of that?
It is a lifesaver. Yeah. Rotating through choices and...
Yeah. Yeah, it worked well in many. Oh, the van, where people wanted to sit in the van, that was always an issue.
Always a problem.
But you just say, hey, who has higher choice today?
Yeah, and it went down. If one of the kids, the person who had first choice, if they weren't home, it defaulted to the next person. And it really was a lifesaver. I came up with other things, too. Like, I did Momopoly once, where they could earn extra screen time. They could earn video games with Dad. That was one of the prizes. They could have good behavior, do their chores, and give compliments to each other, and they could earn video game time with Dad.
Mm-hmm. That was always a fun time. I was never really a gamer.
No,
that was my brother's, Brian, who's normally on here. But yeah, that was, I think, one of the big takeaways from all of that is you have to be flexible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, one thing may not work.
Doesn't work all the time. You change it up. Even, like,
lifetime.
As a teacher, you do the same thing.
Yeah.
We work on one thing for a while, and we're like, all right, let's change it up and do something different. Mm-hmm. And we do that for a little bit. Let's change it up. Let's do something different.
Yeah. Yeah. And having that flexibility, I think especially with, I mean, it could be a small family, too, but large families especially, mm-hmm. I feel like you have to have some sort of variability, flexibility, realizing that, okay, we've reached the end of the useful life of this
strategy.
Method or strategy. Mm-hmm. Let's figure the next thing out. What do you got, Debbie?
Yeah. That's about what it was sometimes, for sure.
For the most part.
The thing I get razzed about the most with the kids is my get-along shirt. I saw that an idea that's Jacob and Cody were arguing, and you guys have to wear the get-along shirt now because I'm tired of you fighting. And it was an oversized men's T-shirt that I put them both in at the same time and forced them to
It may
be
have
in
involved
proximity.
Duct tape at one point.
Oh, yes. You are around their clothes. You are stuck together.
Which ended up them rolling on the floor,
laughing
with one another. And yeah. Lots of different strategies, but good times.
For sure. I stayed home. I did not work when the kids were little.
When they were little. Till Maya went to kindergarten and you started.
Well, I did do the
subbing.
What was it? The typing, transcription. And that was when I was doing the transcription, working one day, and Josh looked at me. He said, Mommy, when are you going to stop working? And I was like, okay, maybe I shouldn't do this. But
Yeah, you did different things over the years. But then starting back into subbing
when Maya was in kindergarten.
Yeah. So what has it been like teaching other people's kids compared to teaching your own kids?
Definitely less freedom. I mean, just working in a public school system, you have less freedom for what you want to do and how you want to approach things. Mm. But I still love my students as if they were my own. You know, you develop a relationship with them. You get excited when they're excited. Mm. But it is different for sure. I mean, I did the homeschooling with our two oldest for a while too, so I do have experience like teaching some of our kids. But having somebody else's children in my care, having my own kid, like even thinking I was teaching before we had kids. Mm-hmm. And when you have your own kids and go into teaching, it's like you understand the parents. You, from a parent's perspective, you can relate to the parents more. You say, I've been in your shoes. I've been in your position. I know where you're coming from. And you have more understanding with how to deal with the kids. I think when you have your own kids, too, and you're teaching other people's children.
Yeah, you had a good, before you started full-time back into the classroom, like a 20-year gap, pretty much.
Yeah, like 15 years out of the classroom completely.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Maya started, just subbing, long-term, day-to-day subbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so good stuff.
Some good life life experience coming back into the classroom.
No doubt when you've taught six of your own.
Behavior management strategies just ways to communicate and talk with children and hold their attention. And
your classroom is very engaging too.
I try.
Yeah.
You came in there the other day.
The decor.
It's an ocean of learning.
Comfort. Sitting on the rug and lots of stuff going
on. Well, if I have to spend all day in there, I've got to make it someplace I want to be in.
Yeah.
So I have an ocean theme in my classroom at school. I have a couple sayings like, alone we are just a drop, but together we are an ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Serena's beach is signs.
You have
there.
The same pet at the classroom that we have at home?
Well, no, we have a different, it's a betta fish in my classroom.
I mean, it's a fish.
Oh, it's a fish. Yes, it is a fish.
Right.
It's a beautiful blue betta fish. Mm-hmm. Bubbles is his name.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yep.
Was the other name voted? It got turned down. I was so upset because I liked it better, but the kids voted. Leonardo Defini.
Oh.
That was such a creative name.
They didn't like that one.
Well, half the class did, but the majority, the one person more majority wanted Bubbles.
Nice.
But we do have a fish in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, we have not gone the pet route in our house for a while. That was a challenge back in the day.
It was. Well, with all the kids and we were gone at events all the time and weekends where we had free time. We were just out of town. We were traveling. We were at sporting events. We were never home.
Mm-hmm.
And taking care of a dog at that stage in life was very difficult.
Yeah. Thanks, Becca.
Yeah.
Becca Unkapfer.
She adopted
our
dog.
Adopt our
dog.
And
he's just thriving now. So.
He is. He's. Mm-hmm. He seems very happy with his friends.
Yeah. I don't know if I could go back to being a pet owner.
Yeah. Not right now.
Yeah.
We're still out and about too much and you got to think about taking care of the animal's needs as well rather than just being able to go to a game or go stay overnight somewhere or travel to your parents in New York or whatever. So, it definitely creates other logistical things that have to occur.
Yeah.
So
raising six children is enough.
Raising six children. Yeah. Yeah. It's different now, though. I mean, how do you think, what are things that you've thought, wow, this is different now that our kids are older? And
well, I spent most of my younger parenting years with my eyes on the children. Making sure that they were safe, making sure they weren't getting into something that they shouldn't. Like even going to the kids' baseball games and soccer games, I couldn't watch. I was watching the children.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has changed where I can actually go to Jacob's football games and Maya's volleyball games and I can watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And the first weekend or the first time I went to a game where I didn't have to watch children. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow.
This is
really weird. I'm not having to like turn my features and make sure it's not falling off the back edge and or the boys dancing on the barbecue pit. And it's a weird transition, but that's a big, that is a big change from as they grow older is just they don't need me, which is emotionally difficult too.
They do just in a different way. They need
you. Yeah. Yeah, but the actual hands-on,
like, kneading. They don't need you to dress them anymore.
No. Or pack their, well, I say pack their suitcases. Maybe they still ask for the packing list.
Yeah.
That's another good mom tip.
Oh, yeah.
My packing list.
Yeah.
They, with six kids, I could not be in charge of packing all of their stuff for vacations. It's just too much. Mm. And I wanted to create some independence in them and something where you can do for yourself. So I came up with these packing lists. Mm. And for the ones who couldn't read, they were pictorial. Mm-hmm. Pictures so they could see, and I would print these lists off, and well, they were just generic lists, and I'd fill in the numbers depending on how many days we were going to be gone. Mm-hmm. But they were in charge of packing, and I would put, okay, you need two sets of church clothes, you need five winter outfits, you need five summer outfits, you need sweatshirt, you need two pair of pajamas, you know. I would list all these things on this packing list, and they would have to gather it all. Mm-hmm. And then I would come and check it, is what my responsibility was. But that's a lifesaver. Mm. It really is. Lots of kids, you can't do that.
Yeah. Well, there were times we showed up and we're like, okay, you have
Andy, did you not pack underwear?
Three pair of shorts and two pair of socks and nothing else.
And that's what we're wearing.
Right.
Yep. But it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It is okay. So not as much of the physical knee. How do they need you now?
I don't even know. They mean, they don't.
That's not true.
Josh calls me for recipes and says, and then says, "Oh, I made it better."
Right.
Maya still needs me to drive.
So you
and
gave
pick
him
her
the
up.
Foundational skills to cook.
He just took my cooking skill and just
he
took
did
it up
not
a notch.
Get that from me.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
But that Maya still needs me to drive her around because she doesn't have her license yet. Mm-hmm. Jacob needs me to. I don't even know. Does Jacob needs me to cheer for him? He needs
To occasionally be like, just remind him that the stairs are filled with his clothes.
Oh my goodness.
Or just to remind him that he's got eight pair of shoes between the garage.
You could do laundry today, Jacob. You, the laundry room is right there. You can do laundry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He needs me to fix food.
Yeah.
He does need me to fix food.
There you go.
And I'll just fix it and he'll eat it whenever he wants.
At
11
various
o'clock at night.
And sundry times of night.
The third
and
dinner
day.
Of the day.
The third dinner. It's true.
Wake up in the morning and there's a casserole dish on the counter and an empty plate. Mm. And like, oh, Jacob was up at midnight eating dinner again.
Right. Yeah.
But
and Cody. Cody needs us
to. Cody needs us to talk. He's our talker.
Yeah.
He needs conversation and I love it.
Yeah. He still calls. Yeah.
Yes.
He needs that. It's just different. Cody's very organized, though. He got that from you.
Yes.
He did.
Did not get the organization from you.
No. Unfortunately, probably some of our other kids have gotten their level of organization from me.
I am sorry, Andy.
And sorry. Wowzers. Love you, Andy.
Like father, like son.
It's true. It is true. But Andy is very handy and mechanical, and he got that a little bit of that from
me.
You
yes,
too.
He did.
Yes, yeah. You can get in there and fix something, and Andy is very much that same way.
Mm-hmm.
He will be a good household auto manager one day when he has all of his own things.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say a good housewife.
And he'll be a good housewife.
I mean, he does a lot of the things that mom does, too.
Yeah, but am I the typical housewife? I don't know.
No, I don't think you. I would not call you typical.
No.
You're unique, and I'm thankful for
that. I am the person in the house that fixes the electrical, fixes the plumbing. Our sprinkler system was on the fritz yesterday.
We worked together on
that. You were like, I need you to come out here and look at this. Exact words. So I went out and solved the problem for the most part.
We did get it. It is not
I think
running.
We still need to call the sprinkler company.
That is likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, lots of things that change over the... We don't use choice chart anymore. Maya and Jacob, we don't have to, you know, rotate their choice for the day. I feel like people are less present in our house. Yes.
Which was another dynamic as the kids got older, is their phones and their isolation.
Oh, that's a whole separate podcast, I feel like. Yeah, just...
and Josh would even say we have lightened up as the year goes by, because when he was in high school, they had to turn their phones in by 9 o'clock. And even as some of the younger ones, it was like, you turn your phone in, you are done with your phone. And as we've gotten fatigued, that has eased
that
up.
That might be a thing. Yeah.
Fatigue is a real thing.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
It's like we have great intentions, but...
Yeah. Yeah, there's, you know... I think as all parents, you can't feel defeated because you're trying to figure it out, just like you and I, Debbie, have tried to figure it out.
Six times
over. Every child is different. That's true. And, you know, you just have to work together to try and do it the best that you can do it. Taking the things from your own parents that you saw and incorporating some of those things. And it's a new generation. I mean, just like you said about the phones, like that has honestly been probably the biggest challenge of raising kids is the impact of electronics and screen time. And phones.
And we've learned lessons. Our kids have learned lessons through it.
Some hard lessons.
Very hard lessons.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there's encouragement out there. Parents need to band together. And there are, there is new technology, new types of phones that are specific for teenagers that track things better, I think. That look into, definitely, if your kids are at a phone receiving age, those are things we shouldn't feel bad. We shouldn't be made to feel bad about as parents, like, you know, checking in on our kids and their, you know, what was the private life we had as kids? Like,
oh, yeah.
My goodness, if we tried to think we had a private, like, the door would be taken off the hinges or whatever. Like, closing your door was the only way to have some kind of but you know, that's just not when you're a teenager and you are under the roof of your parents. There's a delicate balance there, but you know, you gotta check phones.
Yeah.
Keep away from it as long as you can.
And a lot is just naivety with our kids. They're still kids and they just inexperienced life experience that will get them in situations that they don't realize just
and there are people out there looking to take advantage of that naivety.
Right. So. You and I have never had the Life 360 app. Yeah, we've never had that. I know a lot of people do, and they can look and say, oh, my child is pulling into the parking spot number 7 at the grocery store right now. And we've never done that. But I know that we, and I want to say we trust our kids enough. Maybe it's I don't know if it's a naive trust. That if they say this is where they're going to be, this is where they're going to be. And
I think we have, I mean, it's honest conversations that I guess you hope and you pray and you leave it in God's hands to a degree, like that they're being honest with communication with you as well. And so, yeah, that's changed. That's been a probably the most challenging thing once they hit teen years. And we gave our kids phones at 13. In retrospect, I don't know. I feel like if you even longer, if you can hold out longer and
the difficult thing with teens getting phones is that's a lot of the teams and the sports and the activities that they're involved in communicate via text messaging,
practices,
and so practice schedules and so that was a difficult thing. Like, we want them to be able to communicate with their team and their coach.
Right.
But it's...
Yeah.
It's a hard...
The Amish got some things right.
Yeah. Again.
Yeah.
Living like the Amish.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess we've been asked if we were Amish.
Andy's soccer coach, just as a joke, called him Amish. Yeah.
If we're okay, Amish, if we're Catholic, if we're anything that has a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And requires a giant vehicle.
Giant van. When we sold our van last year,
yeah,
I cried.
You did cry.
I did cry.
Yeah, there's pictures.
Yeah, that was like our life with the kids little. We had a big 15-passenger van.
Yeah. It traveled a lot of miles, 250,000 before we had to finally say goodbye and part with the van. So, yeah. Well, I was going to, on a sidebar, I guess, from the kid discussion and mom discussion, I know our usual ending to that's interesting is we have a little conspiracy zone. Debbie's got different perspective, I would say, coming in, and so I thought I'd just open up for you to give your perspective on just conspiracy in general and that that world. Yeah.
Well, you know, when the kids, it links back to having kids too in the teenage years, and I want to be a mother, a person who trusts. Mm-hmm. I want to show that I trust you. Mm-hmm. I want to have that character trait. That's mm-hmm. I want to be a person that trusts. I want to trust my kids when they say, "Hey, Mom, I'm going to be at so and so's house." Mm-hmm. I'm going to trust them. Mm-hmm. And I want to have that character trait. And the conspiracies, they're lying to us. This is the real truth. This is the truth. I want to be a person who trusts. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to. Mm-hmm. And if that person is lying and trying to take advantage of my trust, that's on them. Mm-hmm. That's not on me. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody, unless it's obvious, I know for a fact you are lying to me. I'm not going to trust if I know for a fact. And through my personal experience, I'm not going to take somebody else's word for it. But it's, if I know somebody is lying,
what's
then
the source?
Right. What's the source? Yeah. Is it firsthand? Is it third hand? But I'm just going to trust.
Yeah.
And I want to have that character trait. So
yeah.
All of the ideas of, well, they're lying to us. This is what really happened. I'm like, I don't care. Honestly, I don't. I'm going to trust.
So you just don't have the passion for
it. I don't have the passion. If they say they landed on the moon, great.
Yes.
If they say COVID was a real virus that was just naturally happened, okay.
Mm-hmm. I think the challenge in our world and society is that just the sources of information and what is the source of information and what is true. And mm-hmm. I mean, we've said it multiple times on this show. What is the standard that information has to reach to be valid,
credible. Mm-hmm.
Or credible. Yeah. So that's the world we live in right now. There is a certain amount, and I am along the same lines, and I'm not anti people who see the other side as well. I mean, I like having a lively discussion with Brian, and I just think we always have to be aware of our sources. And what is the source of this information? Is it credible?
Yeah. What are their motives?
What are their motives?
That to me a lot, especially in the social media world, that people are trying to get clicks. They're trying to get.
Oh, for sure.
They're trying to be. What's the word? They're
monetized.
Sensational. They're trying to be sensational. Yeah. They're trying to be like, oh wow, did you hear what they said? And trying to get clicks, trying to get notoriety.
One more like is one more move towards and that monetization.
Motivates, yes, and that motivates a lot of people to say whatever they want.
Yeah, yeah.
So to me, that is like, well, there's so many, there's too many people saying whatever they want.
Yeah. There's a positive to it that when you lose the control, and I was just reading an article about John Kerry talking about the climate, that when you lose control of the sources of information, that can be a good thing if you've just got government propaganda and the government's trying to control a narrative on something, so they don't want multiple source. And when you have just altruistic or people on the ground at the grassroots level that are just trying to document something that's going on right in front of their very eyes, I think you have some people like that out there that aren't just looking for clicks or whatever. They're looking for like, oh my goodness, look at this going on right in front of me. But it's hard to wade through who's if you don't know the person, the character of the person, the like, how do you gauge whether their information is valid or not?
I would even liken myself to just Doubting Thomas, honestly. Like, he was not going to believe anything that anybody said about Christ until he said, until I put my hands on you, I'm not going to believe anything. And that's where I feel like a lot of times I am, that unless I see it with my own eyes and I experience it myself.
With the information world that's out there in front of us now. And that almost has to be how we are. There's so many AI things that can just make something seem incredibly real or look incredibly real in a video or a soundbite, but it was just AI generated and not real. So, some things to be thinking about. We'll have to do this again with some other parenting tips.
Oh, just stories.
There's lots
so
of
many stories.
Lots of stories from an
like Serena,
ice scraper across the bridge of the nose to lots of things that as parents make up a life.
Yes.
And it's been good. So thanks for sitting down with me, Debbie.
my valuable opinions and comments.
That's right. So check us out on Facebook. We're gonna maybe post some pictures this week, and we're posting some things that connect with a lot of the things we talk about. So maybe we'll have to post Debbie's chart choice chart on there this week. And so check us out, give us a like and a follow on Facebook, listen to us on Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast platform, and have a great week. It was good to be with you. Thanks, Debbie.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.